if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Let me ask you a question. What's the best day of your life? Look back and think about this. What's the best day of your life? Was it the day that you received at Jesus Christ? When you knew that your sins were forgiven? When you knew that you had a home in heaven? And you knew that you could follow Jesus Christ every day of your life and even into death? Was that the best day of your life? Was the best day of your life the day you stood across from that special someone and your fiance became your spouse and you pledged each other vows? And was that a good day? Was that the best day of your life? Was it the day you got that dream job? Was it the day you started a business? Was it the day your children were born? Today in our text, we're going to see the importance of a great day, the importance of the best day of your life. Hebrews chapter 4, and look with me in verse 7. Again, he limiteth a certain day. Oh, we're getting to it. A certain day. Let's see what this certain day is. Saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not have afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. By God's help this morning, I want to talk to you about the best day of your life. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, fill us with your Spirit. Give us the Word of God that needs to be directly applied to our life today. Lord, we trust that everything that's been prepared, everything that we've seen and heard today, that it started us up to get a bigger picture of what your plan is for us and a bigger picture of your work through the Holy Spirit today and what Jesus Christ has done for us. Lord, help us this morning to see and value the same things that you value. In Christ's name, amen. Who wrote the book of Hebrews? Great men disagree. Some say it was Paul. Others say it was Barnabas. It may be Tyler Gillett. I'm not sure. But we know that the Holy Spirit, through the inspiration of God, gave us this book. And we see that this one saying is ascribed to several different designees. We see in our text, and it says, again, he limiteth a certain day, saying, in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So David, in Psalm 95, this was a quotation from him. Also, David was quoting Moses. Moses in Numbers quoted this as well. In fact, he told this to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh ended up hardening his heart before God hardened his heart. And we see also in chapter 3, look at verse 13, if you will. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. But also look at verse 7 now. Verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. Speaking of the wilderness that was being wandered through as Moses was leading the children of Israel through them. He told the children of Israel not to harden their hearts, and today, if you will hear his voice. So who's saying it? Is it Moses? Is it David? Is it the Holy Spirit? We know that Jesus Christ is the Word of God, so Jesus Christ is saying it. And this is the will of God the Father. So it's the whole entire Trinity that's saying it. And I'm just adding my voice to this oft-repeated phrase today. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. This, being the theme of Hebrews, has the same import as some of the great oft-repeated phrases of Scripture, like the just shall live by faith, that impassioned Martin Luther, and thereby the whole Reformation started. And it's an oft-repeated phrase on purpose, because it's the Lord's purpose. You have a great day right in front of you, and that day is today. And I would submit to you that today is the best day of your life, because it's all you really have. If I were to share the gospel with somebody uninitiated with Jesus Christ, not religious, or you had to explain what faith is or who Jesus was, I would take them probably to John chapter 3, but I would also teach through John chapter 4. John chapter 4 mentions a woman in Samaria that Jesus met at a well. This is an amazing interaction. Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria. We know that the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, but that's not what the Jews would have said. They went from Judea to Galilee, and they went around Samaria. And they went around Samaria for one reason. They were racists against the people in Samaria. But Jesus, and our gospel, incidentally, goes to every tongue, tribe, kindred, and nation. In Christ, we don't get to pick who we love anymore. Our gospel goes right to those that need to hear the gospel one more time or hear it for the first time. And he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And who did he meet? He met a woman at the well. Now, the conversation that proceeds from this meeting is a conversation that was not present day focused. In fact, the woman at the well did not want to talk about her today, and she had lots of reasons why. She wanted to talk about yesterday, and she wanted to talk about tomorrow. Remember, she said, Jacob's well. She's going to talk about the past. And she says, our fathers, our fathers, our fathers. She wants to bring up the past. And then she focused on tomorrow when she said, when Messiah comes, when Messiah comes, when Messiah comes. But she didn't realize at that point that Messiah was right there in front of her, in her today. She was excited about yesterday, and she was animated about tomorrow. But you can't blame her for not being excited about today. She was a Samaritan woman living in the first century, considered an outcast in Israel. She was living with a man that wouldn't commit to her. Today would have been a struggle for her. In fact, that's the truth for most everybody. The hardest day that you're going through is probably the one that you're going through right now. Today compared to yesterday. Today compared to tomorrow. Today never gets much publicity. Nostalgia makes everything look pretty. People talk about the good old days, because yesterday has the luxury of putting aside whatever discomfort you felt yesterday. The Scottish poet Thomas Campbell says it this way: distance lends enchantment to the view and robes the mountains in its azure hue. We did get to visit the Costigans in the mountain areas, and we saw the painted desert and the mountains affixed, and it was absolutely beautiful. However, if we were to be there in the mountains, it would have been rocky and rough and treacherous. But to look at it from a distance, it was absolutely captivating. Because the farther you get away from something, the better it can look. That's why fairy tales begin long ago in a land far, far away. Fairy tales don't usually start. Yesterday afternoon in my living room, I sat in the recliner and snored. And a piece, of course, people love tomorrow, don't they? There are songs that say, the sun will come out. See, I knew you knew it. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I'll love you tomorrow. You know what else was going to come out tomorrow? Kids, your school year's about to start. Homework is going to come out tomorrow. Car problems are going to happen tomorrow. Your annoying neighbor that hasn't returned your tool is going to come out tomorrow. Humidity is going to come out tomorrow. 100-degree plus temperatures are going to come out tomorrow. Tomorrow is very easily embellished. Yesterday is glamorized, but today is today. No makeup, no airbrushing, no Photoshop, hashtag no filter on today. Today sits here in unvarnished reality. And this is why it's precisely the best day of your life. The truth is, as far as you and I are concerned, today is the only day that really matters. Really, Brother Johnson? Today is the only day that really matters? Well, as far as our life and our service to God, the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Don't be confident in tomorrow. You don't know whether you'll be here tomorrow. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, take no thought for tomorrow. Don't fret or overthink about tomorrow. There's nothing about tomorrow that's worth glorying in today. A wise man once said, I don't know who it was, it may have been Dr. Barber. Tomorrow is when idle men work and fools repent. Keep in mind, in Luke chapter 16, we have two individuals that Jesus teaches about. You have the rich man and Lazarus. And they both ended up doing the exact same things, even though their lives were described in a totally different way. The rich man only described by material pleasure, gated community, purple and fine linen, power in religious community, power in the government, fared sumptuously every day. It's like going to Chili's every single day. That's eating real good. And, of course, the beggar Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores. He didn't have good health. He didn't have everything that the rich man had, but they both did the same thing. Only one did it today, and one did it at the wrong time. In hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes. He asked for mercy for his family. He asked for a comforter, but he only asked for a physical comforter, a material comforter, but he asked for it too late. They had the same thing. They had a today, but one man, Lazarus, did something with his today that the rich man never did. They both died. What a difference today makes. And it takes us to this repeated, powerful emphasis and admonition in our text. And it's a blessing. It's a glory for us today. And we can joy in our today. Do these three things that the Holy Spirit of God is telling us to do today, and you'll discover what today is all about. When your tomorrow becomes today, do these three things. Number one, think about Jesus today. Really? That's it? Think about Jesus today? Oh, it's more important than you think. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, please. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Go back a page to Hebrews chapter 3. It begins with a very familiar word. It usually sums up the whatever's come before it, and he says, wherefore? Whenever you see wherefore or therefore in Scripture, you have to ask, what's the therefore, therefore? And it's making a summation statement. He's been comparing Jesus to other things, and we find that Jesus is better. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. When our authorized version was translated, the hearers and the readers of that word would have understood the import and the powerful nature of this word. We would compare it today to a meditation, but not Eastern meditation. That's emptying your mind of something, perhaps considering the space of emptiness and nothingness, possibly contemplating too hard on your navel. But in this kind of meditation, it's actually filling your mind, not with everything, but with one thing. It's filling your mind with Jesus Christ. Consider or meditate on Jesus Christ. That's why you have this word, wherefore, because every single comparison in the previous two chapters compares Jesus to something else, and we find that Jesus is better. It's a strong word. Think about, contemplate, meditate on it, dwell upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is he? He is the apostle and high priest of our profession. And why should we think about Jesus today? Well, it goes on to say, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had builded his house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant. He was not the ruler of his house, he was a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice. Who is this book written to? It's written to the Hebrews. Now, I grew up in church. That's the grace of God, and I thank God every day that I had the opportunity that many children in this room have had the opportunity to do, to grow up in church. That means I was a Christian in the 90s, and I had on my wrist a band that said WWJD. How many of you remember these bracelets, and what did it stand for? What would Jesus do? Based on a quotation from Charles Sheldon's book, In His Steps, in the late 1800s, where a fictional town asked the question before they made any decision, what would Jesus do? If you were a Hebrew, your bracelet would have said WWMD. They would have asked themselves before any decision that they made, what would Moses do? What saith the law? Let's consult the law before we make any other decision. Well, did Jesus fulfill the law? Oh, yes. Is Jesus better than the law? Oh, yes. The Hebrews would have said WWMD, what would Moses do? But then they were considering Moses. Moses was a human. Moses had frailties. Moses made mistakes, but not Jesus. He's our Savior. He was the ruler of his own house. He never sinned. He never made a mistake. He never disobeyed the Father. So no matter how much you consider him today, or at any moment, or at every moment of today, you'll never be disappointed. I love reading biographies of great men and women of the faith. But if that biography is true, there will be a point where I'm disappointed or we see showcase their failure. I love studying history. It was my minor in college. It excites me. We've taken tours of capitals. We've seen and sung in 5 state capitals this year. I love the fascinating contributions of great men and women of history. My favorite president is George Washington. The first was the best. But here's the deal. I don't have to think about George Washington every day. I don't have to think about Buddha or Confucius or Amy Simple McPherson or Joseph Smith or Charles Hitchens. I don't have to think about Deepak Chopra or Oprah or Prince Charles today. Now, I know he just was coronated. He's King Charles, but who cares? I don't have to think about him. I don't have to think about him today, but I can think about Jesus every single day. The people in Hollywood and the people in Washington didn't die for me. There's a portion of scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Where are you looking? Are you looking inward? Are you looking around you? Or are you looking unto Jesus? Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. And if you don't, here's the warning. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. People are falling and fainting away because they're not considering Jesus Christ. We hear about it every single day. There's a mental health crisis. Well, why don't you think about Jesus Christ? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. When should you consider Jesus Christ? Today. That's right. In 1943, there was a huge problem with Allied planes coming back to England. After they flew their sorties, the problem was the dangerous landing in heavy English fog. It obscured the runways, and hundreds of people were dying. And these trained pilots and airmen were dying. Sometimes coming back in for the landing was more dangerous than the mission itself. So Winston Churchill offered a solution. He told his scientists to fix the problem, and they said, it's impossible. And he said, well, do the impossible. Sure enough, on July 20th, 1943, some men and engineers came up with a machine that in 7 minutes could dispense enough fog to make the runway visible and safe. And because of that ingenuity, it saved hundreds of people's lives. So think about this, folks. Fog itself is not a bad thing. You can breathe in it. You can walk around in it. It doesn't hurt you. You can even fly in fog. Fog in itself is not dangerous. Fog prevents you from seeing things clearly. When you take time to think about the Lord, you start to see things clearly. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It removes the fog from our eyes. In this world, there are dangers and snares. And there's a roaring lion, Satan, walking about, hoping to destroy you and devour you. You need to have your fog moved away from your eyes. So think about Jesus. What does that mean? Do I think about the Chosen TV series version of Jesus? How about my illustrated long hair version of Jesus? I need to think about Jesus in the Bible. What should I think? I should think about his life. I should think about his words. I should think about his death, his burial, his resurrection, his contradiction of sinners, his enduring the cross. And I should think about him every single day. David said this, my meditation of him shall be sweet. So whenever tomorrow is today, take time to consider the high priest of our profession. Number two, listen to Jesus today. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Look at verse 7 of chapter 3. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice. Verse 15 of chapter 3. While it is said today, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now verse 7 of chapter 4. Today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You can hear the voice of God, not audibly, but through the word of God. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged swords. You may be able to fool other people, but you can't fool God. And if you want an accurate representation of who you are or who God knows you to be and who God is, look no further than the mirror of Scripture. God constantly affirms to his people to listen to the word of God. And when should you listen to the word? Today. That's right. The average Christian doesn't cling to even 5 promises a year. In teaching my kids to study the word of God, I want them to find 1 Bible truth from what they read every single day. That's 365 promises that you can grab a hold to in the space of a year. No wonder we're fainting. No wonder we're falling away. No wonder we fail in opposition. We are not listening to the word of God. I also tell my children stories that are fantastical in nature. Right when I put them to bed, I'll tell Mitchell a story right off the top of my brain about an armor-clad knight named Mikhail and an armor-clad dragon named Victor. And if I let one day go by, he reminds me, hey, aren't you going to tell me a story? Because he's excited to hear from his dad a story that I just make up on the spot. You know what June wants to hear? June wants to hear about all the times I got in trouble as a kid. Talk about something that I could mention 365 days of the year. They didn't want to go to sleep without hearing. And I wish that was the passion that all of us had. I don't want to go one day without meeting with my Lord in the Word. Not just at mission conference, not just at revival time, not just when you get the big time preacher in, not at summer camp. The Lord doesn't want to speak to you just only on the mountaintop. He wants to meet with you. And when does he want to meet with you? Today. Brother Johnson, when's the best time to meet with the Lord? Adam and Eve met with God in the coolness of the day. That's morning and evening. The psalmist said, morning and evening and at noon will I pray. Daniel had a routine where he met with the Lord many times throughout the day. You know where we can meet the Lord? When can you meet the Lord? Today. If you haven't met with the Lord, meet with him today. Pray today. Find a truth from the Word of God today. Number three, speak for Jesus today. Look at verse 13 of chapter 3. Look at chapter 3, verse 13. But exhort one another, how often? Daily, while it is called today. How often should we exhort one another in the most holy faith and in the Word of God? We should do it every day. As soon as we dismiss, in a very short amount of time, there's going to be gospel conversations that happen along each of these aisles and along these hallways and next door and around the campus here, because we're taking the time today to exhort one another in the Word of God. And it's a priority of every day. We need to speak for the Lord. Have you ever been tempted to say, I'll talk to him about Jesus tomorrow? The most dangerous word that Pharaoh ever said to Moses was tomorrow. You were not promised tomorrow. Today, God's will must be done, or you may not get an opportunity to do it. I want to encourage somebody before I see their body in a casket. I may not get another opportunity to edify, exhort, and build up somebody, so I have to do it today. Today may not be as glamorous as yesterday. It may not be as promising as tomorrow, but it's right here in our lap. And that's why today is called the present, because it's a gift. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. If you're defeated, think about Jesus today. Will you listen to Jesus today? Will you speak up for Jesus today? There was a man who brought his kids to a church league basketball team. And he would come every week and his kids would play and have a wonderful time until his kids became friends with the church kids. And they received multiple invitations to come and be a part of this Baptist church. Well, he did bring his kids to the church meetings. He heard the gospel again and again and again. The pastor dutifully came up to him, got to know him, and asked, have you received Jesus Christ? And he said, no, I'm an atheist. I don't believe any of that stuff. Well, he kept coming every single week. 4 weeks later, he received Jesus Christ as his Savior silently in his seat. Then he went forward to pray. And at that church, there was a card that many members had filled out. And it said this, evangelism, prayer, commitment. I want to be a laborer in the Lord's harvest by praying for these three people. And he went forward and reached in the basket and pulled out one of those cards. And the card that he pulled out had his name on it. That church had been praying for him to receive Jesus Christ. After the service, he walked right up to the pastor and said, Pastor, I got saved, and what do you want me to do with this card right now? The pastor's like, What? You got saved? He said, yeah, I just did what you told me to do after one of the services, and I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. What do you want me to do with this card? It's got my name on it. And he says, I don't know, just cross it out and put somebody else's name on it. He did. He put his son's name in that place. And when we were there for a week of revival, he got saved. And then that name was replaced with his unsaved wife. And that family is coming to Jesus because people prayed. People spoke up for Jesus. And when did they do it? They did it today. I don't know what the Lord's doing in your heart and in your life, but he wants to do something today. He has a will that must be done and a work that must be done. When? Today. That's why I submit that today is the best day of your life, because that's all we really have. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I have more of these cards. One's right in front of you in the hymn book slot. Why don't you take the time, take a pen, and write down a name. You know people that the pastor will never get to reach, never get to touch, or never get to speak to. Why don't you take the time right now to pick up that card and write down a name? You know people that need to hear the gospel one more time. Do you know somebody that needs to hear the gospel one more time? Then write their name down. And why don't you do this? Everybody can have an opportunity to pray this morning, because God's will must be done today. And God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We need to pray God's will today for that one person that needs to hear the gospel one more time. right here at the altar are more cards and more pens. You can take the opportunity to fill out that name and pray for them. Maybe you'll be the answer to your own prayer by getting to share the gospel one more time at your next meeting. Or maybe the Lord will send another faithful servant to share the seed of the Word of God. Christian, are you following God's will today? I didn't ask about yesterday. I didn't ask about your camp decision. I didn't ask about when you grow up or more spiritually or more financially secure. I'm asking about today. I want to invite you to come right to an altar like this and submit yourself to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords today and ask God to use you to accomplish His will today. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are you amazed at the immediacy of the nature of the gospel? Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. If you are not saved, you don't have to hope, wonder, or wish. You can know on the authority of Scripture that today you can be saved. If you'll come right to the front, a man with a man, a woman with a woman, somebody with the Bible can show you from Scripture how you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. Don't leave this room. You aren't guaranteed any future. Be assured that Jesus is your Savior today. Whatever the Lord's speaking to you about, leave your seat as soon as you hear the first note and you come. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, thank you for your word that's meant so much to us. Lord, help us to listen to your word and speak up for you and do your will today while we have it. Lord, thank you so much for your word today. Do your will in Christ's name. Amen. While you hear the music, while an invitation song, you're invited to leave your seat and pray for those that need to hear the gospel one more time. And after you filled out that card, would you do this? Would you take that card and just place it in one of the baskets? There's always something to pray for at Worth Baptist Church. Pray for that one. Maybe tonight you can take somebody who's already filled out a card, take their card and pray for the person that needs to hear the gospel. We'll sing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Leave your seats. You come.